Rabbi Menachem Liebtag, Sunday evening, June 21st, 2009. How irreversible was the decree of destruction? Yechezkel versus Yirmiyahu during the period of Sidkiyahu. Does everybody have Tanachim?
The last three shiurim, if you paid it, if you remember, so, before Hanukkah we did Hanukkah, Yirmiyahu and Leib of Hanukkah. We're studying Yirmiyahu now in the series. We're almost finished, and we did Hanukkah in light of Yirmiyahu. Then the next year was Purim in light of Yirmiyahu. Next one was Yom HaTzmaut in light of Yirmiyahu. Wasn't that? I'm pretty sure. And now we're going to do Sefer Yechezkel in light of Yirmiyahu, because it's before, close to 3 weeks. Now, because it's not the exact same Sunday morning crowd, I don't want to continue. I want to get in trouble, but I don't want to give this year based on the understanding that everyone was in the last three. But I know that I don't want to be too repetitive. So I decided to do something in between. I'll keep to the title. But in a nutshell, this is going to be a shir on the book of Yechezkel, which we didn't start yet, for sure. Correct? We never studied Yechezkel, right? Pretty sure? We never started Yechezkel. We mentioned him.
He's the one in the middle of the pot.
Yeah, we did a couple pieces.
A piece there, but we did a couple pieces in Yechezkel to understand Yirmiyahu. But we never did Yechezkel as a book. Pretty sure. So the goal of the shir tonight is to understand the book of Yechezkel in light of the book of Yirmiyahu. One little question to begin with. Do Yechezkel and Yirmiyahu ever mention each other? But did Yirmiyahu ever talk about Yechezkel or Yechezkel ever talk about Yirmiyahu? You're right. Okay. You don't. On the other hand, they quote very similar slogans. It's clear they're talking about the same generation because both of them relate to certain phenomena that are happening in Yerushalayim. And they don't quote each other by name, but they quote common concepts. We'll see a couple of examples of this today. They definitely overlap historically, not 100% overlap, but there is a certain overlap between them. So, to begin with, I want to ask a couple questions from what you remember. Who's heard of the Nevi Yechezkel? Everybody? Wait, I want to begin with. If someone asks you, you've heard of Yechezkel, what is the book about in 20 seconds or less? Who could answer that? I won't call on anyone to answer yet. If everyone's heard of Yechezkel, if someone asks you what was Sefer Bereshit about, you give a decent answer. Probably any book in Chumash, what's Sefer Yeshua about? Shoftim. Most of us, up through Nevi'im Rishonim, people can give a pretty decent answer what the book is about. They might argue what's the meaning of the book, the theme, but the content of the book, and what the book is about, have a pretty decent idea. Even if they ask you what was Yirmiyahu about, what do people say, what's the line that Yirmiyahu was about, pretty much? Depression. What?
Depression.
No, that's a result of what it's about. The book is not a book about depression. And that's pretty cheap. I mean, it's... about the Qurban, or why the Qurban is going to happen, or foreseeing the Qurban, or something like that. So, if you ask them, what's Yechezkel about?
He's
in Galut.
He's talking about the Nevi'i Sheker.
So he's in the exile? Yeah, wait, but is he before the destruction or after?
Before the destruction.
Oh,
both.
A little bit after, too, but...
He's Syrian. So there's a bit of an overlap. He leaves in the first wave of exile. Yeah,
right.
He's in the first phase of exile, but before the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. Most people, when you ask him, when's Yechezkel, people usually think he's after the Qurban because they know he's in Babel. But most of Yechezkel's rebuilds are in between, that's one. What else is he known for? What? Which vision? Thanks to Shavuot, we know about his first vision. And I forgot to tell you guys about, on the way here, there was this big electricity pole that fell down. And the bridge was closed, and there were sirens, and And ambulances, you didn't hear about it?
No.
Okay. I just explained the first parakeet in the Cheskel. What? Why did I get to your attention? I talked about something dramatic. And I think in the simplest shot, that's Paragala. Without being an apikoros. I'm not saying there's no meaning but for sure we're not allowed to... Yeah, there's no obvious meaning there that you can figure out and read simply. But at the most simple shot level, one of the most important things that Chesco needs to do is get people's attention. And one way to get their attention is tell them the neatest thing. Tell them you had a vision of something happened, something, and you get people's attention. And Tarek Aleph, that's the only time he does things like that.
Right.
He's got great stories.
Or action.
You can argue whether it happened or not. One of the things we want to talk about, why is it so important that he gets the people's attention? That's going to be key. We'll talk about the first year. The goal of this year is to try to understand what the book is about. So if you ask people what they remember about the book, what they know about the book, they know Matin Rekava. They know something, they know Mari Cohen comes from there. That you know, didn't you? Some of the lines of Mari Cohen?
Yeah.
No, some of them are from there. What else do people remember from Yechezkel? What?
Shkina leaving.
Yerushalayim or something like that? What? Yeah, which Hatzorot? Where are the famous Hatzorot from?
Well, the two Shams Chalamoy.
Which are? Dry bones. And about the third or fourth or fifth or sixth Beit HaMikdash he talks about, or the second. And there's one other cool one. Remember Vayigash? That's our Vayigash? The two, the eight, the prime eight, Yudan, grafting the two trees together. Yeah. That's pretty much what Yechezkel is known for. What we want to do today is try to figure out what the book is about. And then that's all, because I'm pretty sure no one can answer that. Anyone want to try? I guess that's why we're having a shiurim. It's sort of strange that people, and Baruch Hashem is a learned group. You have a whole book of Yechezkel, people have heard of it, but you might have no idea what the book is about. Other than there's some of the content. But what makes him special? Was he a success, a failure? What's Yechezkel about? To understand Yechezkel, we pretty much have to see where he fits in, we'll see how he fits in the Yirmiyahu. The first thing we do is we're going to go over the time period. And I have a handout, and I thought I had like 80 copies. I realized half of them are for a different handout, but I think I have enough. It's just a review of the history, which is, we take one for every two, and then if there's extra, we'll take more. Take these around. Take one for, there should be almost enough for everybody. There's about 25, there's about 20 some there. The first thing we're going to do is simply talk about how the book is built. And to our surprise, everyone thinks Yechezkel is a difficult Navi to read. Yechezkel happens to be, I think, definitely way easier than Yishayahu. I think even easier than Yirmiyahu. The first pair is difficult, but the rest of them are relatively easy. So should be everyone has got it? Because this takes here for two. Everything on here, other than the outline, everything we have is in everything's in your Tanakh. It's just a source sheet for people who don't have Tanakh in. The front page is real simple. There's nothing. This one. I thought these were other ones, but they're not. And these are, I have all these, but they belong. But it's good. You'll see the first page, it takes 2 seconds. The book divides up as follows. The first 24 chapters is one big unit, which I like to refer to as the Tochacha. For the simple reason, to say content, Tochacha means rebuke. And everything in the first 24 chapters relates to the rebuke of Am Yisrael, and is dealing with the time period, about 5 or 6 years, 7 years before the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. Exactly which years, we'll discuss very soon. That's the first unit. In the second unit, like I'll be, it's from Terach HaFei, pretty much Salamat Hei. That's Nevot about the other nations. But Nevot Amim, we're he addresses his word and his rebuke to other nations. Why he has rebuked other nations in the middle of the book, I doubt we'll get that far today, but that's a unit that stands alone. Then chapters Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin, those are the famous Nevot Nachama, almost all of them are Haftarot, that includes dry bones, like you mentioned the Chalamot Haftarot, and the Vayigash Haftarot, Gog and Magog. It's very difficult to understand from the Tet Lamed Tet. And the very end, people are familiar with, was called Pirkei Mikdash, where he has a vision of the future Beit HaMikdash. He first has a vision of all of its details, and then he talks about how the Shekhinah is going to return to it, and a whole set of Chavrot are going to bring there, again, some Haftarot from there as well. That's the structure of the book. We're going to focus today on the first unit, the first 24 chapters. Later in future shiurim, we'll talk about the other ones. That's why the first page was simply to give a layout of the book, so we know what's happening. Hopefully later today we're going to do something. We're going to try to understand how the book, how the format of Yirmiyahu is similar but different than the format of Yechezkel. As far as the time period, flip the page over. This, I'm hoping you don't need... In fact, don't even look at it yet. We'll go over it later. I want to go over the history, and I'm hoping this is real simple review. It's the last 20, 30 years of Bayit Rishon. I want to work backwards to make it easier. Who was the last king of the first temple period? That we're familiar with? Tzidkiel. I'm hoping we're all familiar with that. The last king was Tzidkiel. How many years did he reign for? 11. That's easy to remember. There's 11 years of Tzidkiel, and the big king beforehand, there was 11 years beforehand of Yehoiachin. Got that? That's why it's easy to remember 11 and 11. What's the event in between Yehoiakim and Tzidkiel? Yehoiakim and Tzidkiel, or what? Father, son? Brother, sisters? What are they? They are? No. Yehoiakim and Tzidkiel.
They're
brothers. And who was their father? No. Yoshiel. Yoshiel was their father. And three of his sons became kings. First Yehoiachaz didn't last very long. Then Yehoiakim, 11 years. Yehoiakim died. Not exactly sure how, but he died. My brother attacked. His son Yehoiachin takes over, also known as Yehoniah. Lasts for a couple months, and he's the one who's exiled. Better known as Galut Yehoniah, or Galut Yehoiachin. After he goes to exile, his uncle, or Yehoiakim's brother, he's put into power by the Babylonians. And that's Tzidkiel. Okay? Those are the last 11 years, those are the last 22 years of the first temple period. Before Yehoiakim, before those 22 years, we had about 18, we had Yoshiel, who was a good king. And Yoshiel's reign was when they did, we talked about that with Yirmiyahu, the tremendous tshuva. I think it was going good. Big tragic event was the death of Yoshiel in Megiddo. So during Yoshiel, he's the king who brings the people back to God, that tshuva gets rid of all the idol worship. We have some decent years, especially in year 18 when they find the Sefer Torah and they make a whole new treaty. Some 18 to 31. 12, 13 years later, he dies in the battle in Megiddo. Yehoiachaz takes over for a short time and is exiled and dies. Yehoiakim takes over, put into power by the Egyptians. He's king for 11 years. He dies, his son for 3 months, Yehoiakim. First wave of exile, 11 years, Tzidkiel and the Korban. Got that? Now. Now look at the page I gave you. That's simply a review. So this first page, you really don't need. But just to review it, to have it in front of you. Yoshiel, sorry. There's a typo there. Yoshiel becomes king at age 8. It's Yoshiel, not Yoshiel. How did that happen? Yoshiel becomes king at age 8. After his father's assassinated. In the 13th year of his reign, that's when Yirmiyahu begins his prophecy. That's when the book of Yirmiyahu begins. This was the page we used when we studied Yirmiyahu. That's when the big Shuvah begins. 18th year, they find the Sefer Torah. 31st year of his reign is when he's killed in Megiddo. Yehoiakim takes over. Paro and the whole system in power. In the 4th year of his reign, that's when Babel takes over Ashur. And Yirmiyahu's famous 7 years begin. He begins to revolt several years later against Babel. 3 years after he begins to revolt, Babel comes in and wipes them out. That's the first wave of exile. It's called the Charash and Mazgir, Galut HaYachim. And Tzidkiel takes over, appointed by Nebuchadnezzar now. And in the fourth, the What's going to happen during the Rebbe's Tekilah is going to be our topic now. The reason why we have to learn the Yechezkel in the middle of Yirmiyahu is because they overlap. Open up the beginning of the book of Yechezkel, and we'll try to get a date when the book begins. Yechezkel Parakala. The official title today, by the way, if I remember correctly, was, is the Gzar Din of Korban irreversible? And according to Yirmiyahu and according to Yechezkel. Now, how irreversible is the decree of Korban? Is it something that can be reversed, yes or no? So to look in the beginning of Yechezkel, is there a date or not? Okay. What's the opening date? Year 30. Is that CE or BCE?
Yeah.
Year 30 is what? It's BCE or CE? I'm just trying to see if you're awake. I'm joking. There's no counting. The only counting system we have up until now is how many years to a certain king. What did you say it was? It's 30 years since Galut
Yehoyachin?
Oh no, later on, yeah. Later on, it's year 5 of Galut Yehoyachin. Okay, give, Bernie? Bernie?
Just give this one, I'll take that one.
Thank you. That's what was the
thing. Yeah, and she can hear. Okay. Year 30 equals the fifth year of the Galut. So the fifth year since Galut Yehoyachin, which is the fifth year of Tikkiel. So then we can figure out what year 30 is. But it's very strange to all of a sudden have year 30. Do you want to do a little math assignment and figure it out?
How do you get to the fifth year of Yehoyachin?
Read out loud. The next pasuk. It came to pass in the 30th year.
Okay.
And that year is the fifth year of Galut Yehoyachin. So who's good at math? So what year would that be?
This is the 30th
year. So if I go back 30 years, I have 5 years of Tzitzkiel, 11 years of Yehoyachin. That leaves me with how many years?
14.
14 and... So I go from the 31st year back 14. I'm pretty close to 18. So it seems to be, it's quite obvious that the tips they found the Sefer Torah. According to Chazal, it's also a Yovel year. A Yovel year, and there's a nice proof for it later on in the Cheskel. But why were we counting to when they found the Sefer Torah, when they made that priest? Hopefully we'll talk about that later on. What's important for our share, though, is the fifth year of Tzitzkiel. Not the first year of the Lukachin, and not the 11th year. The first vision Yechezkel has is 5 years into the exile. And the big question which we have to deal with, why now? Is it just a year or is there some meaning to the year? I'm going to repeat that because that's the key to this year. Now we have to start doing something good. We have to start analyzing what's happening. Yechezkel begins his first nevuah, the big one with what's called Maaseh Merkabah, the one that gets everyone's attention. For some reason that nevuah is on the fifth year. It's not the year they arrive in Bavel. It's 5 years later. What we have to try and figure out is what's going on that causes this vision to happen. There must be something happening now that's causing Yechezkel to see what he sees. What did Yechezkel see in a nutshell? Without getting into the details. He sees some vision of God. But where is this vision of God? Where is it taking place? It's in the Gola, in the Bika, which is really cool. Where do we ever have Bavel and Bika before? Where do we have a Bika and the concept of Bavel? Migdal Bavel. The whole Migdal Bavel story starts with two Bika there, Shinar, and the end of the story is called Bavel. That can't be by chance. Understand what I mean? And what was the sin that remember when I said Lanu Shem? There's some connection between the Mikdash a Migdal Basal for sure. There's a beautiful thematic parallel between them. Now, one's a har, one's a bikah. One's making a name for God, one's making a name for man. But there's there's other ones we'll see as we go on. Yechezkel sees God's Shekhinah in Babel. Later on, but 8 chapters later on, in the second unit, in the next year, he's going to have a much more detailed vision. I call it a Disney ride, where he goes to Yerushalayim and sees the same Shekhinah that he saw in Babel, landing, so leaving Yerushalayim and going to Babel. But we'll have a chance, we'll see that. I want to summarize one key point. God's Shekhinah leaves Yerushalayim, according to Yechezkel, somewhere between year 5 and 6. The first vision of it is year 5, and it's verified in year 6. But something's happening that's causing God's Shekhinah to leave Yerushalayim. If you know your Yishayel, did God's Shekhinah ever leave Yerushalayim in the time of Yishayel? Is there ever a vision of God leaving Yerushalayim? At least according to some commentators. According to some commentators, Perek Vav. Remember Perek Vav? We get Kedusha from there.
Hafdasha. But he's not leaving.
He's not leaving? Yeah. And then they take off. It's a big machlokas among the commentators. But it seems like, according to Chazal, when did that vision happen? The same year, or the same time when Uziel got Torah. Correct? What caused Uziel to get Tarab? What did he do? He went into the Kodesh Kodeshim. He wanted to go to bring the Torah into the Kodesh. And he stopped. Now, what comes out is that when the king, who's so full of haughtiness, wants to go into the Mikdash, what does God say? If you're coming in, I'm leaving. Now, it doesn't mean that basically Mikdash is destroyed. It doesn't mean God leaves forever. But thematically, something's happening. If Malok, where should is Kavod be? Kavod Hashem should be in Lechal. Later, it's Malokha and it's Kavodah. So we'll see that later on in, is Malokha and Kavodah something good or bad? Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to see that. Now back to, the idea that something's happening that causes God Shekhinah to leave. There's something that is an example of it, at least according to a lot of commentators in Yishayel. The best proof is, I'll show you one little key proof. This is for Yishayel Vav. How does Yishayel Vav begin? It's one you can take a look, but remember how it begins? Bishnat Mot HaMelech Uziyahu, it's Haftarah. Ve'et Hashem, Yoshev Al Kisei. Now, let's read it quickly. Reiti Et Hashem, Yoshev Al Kisei, Ram V'Nisa. What's Ram V'Nisa? God of the Kisei. You say the Shochanah every Shabbos, don't you? What? God's Ram V'Nisa or God's Ram V'Nisa? Who has an art scroll from this with him? Anybody? No one's got the art scroll to know?
Please.
How does they? I'll look in the Siddur. What's it say there? In chapter 6 in Yishayel. It should be God's Ram V'Nisa. But most translations have it that the throne is in. Look in your Siddur. All the translations have. It's not called the Parshan even. I want to prove to you that it's got to be God. I see a simple proof? No, but look in Perek Bet in Yishayel. Remember Perek Bet with Chazon Achrit HaYamim? The famous one? And this could have been a messianic time, but there's something wrong. Something's rotten in Yerushalayim. Look in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yud Bet Yud Gimel. Okay. Kiyom. Yes. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Okay. Enei Gavut Adam Shafal. Shafal. B'shach Ruman Hashim. He's got Hashem Levada B'yamahu. That's going to be the recurring theme. There's terrible haughtiness and God's going to put it down. Listen to the word Ram V'Nisa and who it's describing. Kiyom Hashem Tzvot Akol Ge'av Ram V'Akol Nisa V'Shafal. Ram V'Nisa? Who's Ram V'Nisa here? No. Who here thinks of Ram V'Nisa?
Human.
Man, Amito thinks of Ram V'Nisa. And what's God want to do? He wants to put it down. It's a tender of Uziel when they are Ramin Yisrael. Next pasuk. Of course, El Vanon Haramim Banisayim. Got it? Okay. Al Nevashan. V'alkol harim haramim, v'alkol b'vot ha-nisa'ot. V'alkol migdal gavoa, v'alkol chama b'tzura. The Tana, and Perek Bet through Hay lead up to Perek Vav. They build up to it. Again, I don't want to do a whole show now in Yishael. The main point Yishael is making in Perek Bet, and he continues, is Am Yisrael is full of Rav Nisah. They think the Rav Nisah. Oh, yeah. To the point, it's a haughtiness that's stopping the ability for this to be a Tzkufah Meshichit. For this to be Achrit Hayamin. And Yishev tried to fix that, and it doesn't work. And now that man doesn't want to get, thinks he's loving his son, doesn't channel it the right way, what's God going to do? God, who is the ultimate loving his son, is going to put that, when the Mashtil game will be asked for them. That's the best proof from Perek Bet, the loving his son is talking about God. Of course, you could also say that the Kisei is loving his son, therefore God's even on top of it, but I agree with you. Loving his son has to be God. What? The Tamim fit it, I agree with you. The problem is the translation. The truck could go, they can go either way.
If it's where the
attitude is, might be said, if you say, oh, Now we get to the fun part. Yechezkel is, begins in 205th year. What's happening? So let's go back to the history. How did Yechezkel get into power? Anyone remember how? Who elected him? Were there elections? And why did Babel get into power? Because what caused him to come in and take over the country? Yoakim rebels in year 8. 3 years there's a rebellion. Babel comes in. Nebuchadnezzar comes and puts down the rebellion. Exiles Yehoiachin, his son, and put, not Tzidkiel, what was his name before he was Tzidkiel? His name was Matanya. And who calls him Tzidkiel? Nebuchadnezzar. How do you know Hebrew so well? It says that Nebuchadnezzar called him Tzidkiel. But why would the king of Babel call our king Tzidkiel? I don't want to make fun of it. Who's his advisor? Who's his Ron Emanuel? Who's his Jewish advisor who's telling him, you know, what to do with the Jews? You know who it is? He's too young still, Maria. Maybe he's a little child prodigy at the time. So he has something a little bit older. He's very pro-Babylonian. Look in your Miel Chav Gimel. That's okay. It's got to be this, isn't it? We talk about this every day in Shmoneh Esrei also. Yemiel Chav Gimel Pasuk Hey? Yemiel Chav Gimel Hey, right? Yemiel Chav Gimel Hey? After he rants on all the kings. Do we have it right? Hinei Yamin Ba'im Num Hashem Bakimoti L'David Tzemach Tzadik ומלך מלך וישכיהו ועשה משפט וצדקה בארץ. ועמדתי בשי יהודה וישראל ישכון לבטח, וזה שמו אשר יקראו השם, וזה אשר יקראו השם צדקנו. What's your meal's hope? What will bring ישועה to עם ישראל? המלך doing צדק ומשפט. That's your meal inside out. We start that over and over again. Now, remember our question? Is Churban reversible or irreversible? According to Yirmiyahu, it's possible to reverse it. There doesn't have to be Churban HaBayit. And there doesn't have to be Galut, another wave of Galut. If the king does Tzedek U'Mishpat, they can stay in Israel, keep the Midrash. Only thing, the threat is 7 years of Babylonian exile. We did that topic, you know, we mentioned that topic many times. We'll relate to it again today. But according to Yirmiyahu, there doesn't have to be Churban HaBayit. It can be stopped to the last minute. And that's exactly why Yirmiyahu's advice to Melech Bavel is, call this king Tzidkiel, because that's what he needs to do. You've lost your sovereignty, but now focus on Tzedek U'Mishpat. And that's the meaning of the name. It's not just the name given by a vassal king. Where do we say this in Shmoneh Esrei today? It's Tzemach David Abdecha Me'at HaTzmiach? And right after, right before, is the bracha of Nebuchad Tzedekah Mishmar. The other bracha of Yushan Yechad is from Tzoya. If that's the case, there's no reason why there has to be another way of exile, according to Yirmiyahu. As long as Melech Tzidkiyahu is just Tzedekah Mishpat, there shouldn't be a problem. As long as they remain under Babylonian rule. Now look what happens. Go to Perek Chaf Zayin in Yirmiyahu. Go to Yirmiyahu Chaf Zayin. Yeah, we're right nearby anyhow. And if you want, so we're not ready for that. I think I have it in big letters. Yeah. Yirmiyahu Chaf Zayin in the page I gave you. If you want big letters, it's there. And there's more people with bad eyesight. I got 3 more copies of Yirmiyahu Chaf Zayin. Do I see Yirmiyahu Chaf Zayin? Big letters? Anybody want a big letter sheet?
Anyone with bad eyes, I'll pass them around.
Yirmiyahu Chaf Zayin has a very difficult header because the first pasuk is from the time period of Yehoiakim, and starting in pasuk bet is the time period of Tzidkiyahu. I don't want to deal with that now. Because I'm starting with pasuk bet. Because for sure it's happening at the time of Tzidkiyahu, and something that probably happened already earlier in the time of Yehoiakim is happening again. Pasuk bet. Kol mar Hashem elai. Aseh lecha mosterot tomotot v'satam al tzavarecha. What does God tell Yirmiyahu to do? Take a yoke and put it on his shoulder. V'shilachtam ha-melech Edom, ha-melech Boav, ha-melech Ben-Hemon, ha-melech Tzor, ha-melech Sidon, v'yad ha-melechim ha-bayim Yerushalayim, ha-tzitiyah melech Yehuda. What's happening in Yerushalayim? There's a meeting going on. There's a conference going on. Hey, Mifgash Ezori. Nowadays they do them in Sharm el-Sheikh. Back then they did them in Yerushalayim. Who's coming to the conference? What countries? Edom, Moab, Ammon, and Tzor. That's all of our neighbors. And Sidon. That's Lebanon, Eber Aden. All of our neighbors. Why are they gathering in Yerushalayim by Tzidkiyahu? We're not sure yet. But what is Yirmiyahu sending them? Yirmiyahu sending each emissary who's coming, each foreign minister who's coming to Yerushalayim for this meeting, each one gets a special little present to take home, which is a nice little yoke to go bring home to your boss. And what's the meaning of this yoke? Look at the next line. V'tzivite, Pasuk Dalet, v'tzivite otam el Adonim l'mor, kol ma'ashem tzvot elahi Yisrael, kol tzomud Adonichem, onuchi yasit et ha'aretz v'tadam et ha'bema asher p'nei ha'aretz, v'kolchi ha'gadol v'droi yantuya v'nasati v'yashet yashar b'ina. What have I done? I'm the one who made the heaven and earth, and who have I given it to? To who I want to. How come this Pasuk looks familiar? Where's it familiar from? No, it's way before.
No, this is the one you like to quote from Rashi.
Not I like to quote. Rashi likes to quote.
I like to quote the Rashi.
He's quoting Rabbi Yitzchak. Remember that ask any good Zionist, why does Chumash begin with Bereshit? Why do they always misquote Rashi? What do they say? Why does Chumash begin with Bereshit? To teach us what? That the Eretz Yisrael belongs to who? God. In case the Goyim say it's not our land, we say God gave it to us that belongs to us. And Rashi is exactly the opposite. And he quotes right from here, because what's he saying? We need Sefer Bereshit to know the land belongs to who? It belongs to God, and who does God give it to? To who's ever worthy. And he can take it from Canaan and give it to us, just like he can take it from us and give it to Bavel. Because look at the next line, this is where Rashi gets it from. Look at the next line. The pasuk, the Rashi quote, is that God's giving the land from us to them. So we need Chumash begins with Bereshit, so we know the land doesn't belong to us. That it belongs to God, and we only have it on the condition, not temporarily, ideally, eternally, but it's conditional. Because it's not ours. It's not ours to give away, it's not ours to keep. It's ours to, it's a vehicle that we have to be worthy of. Vatem al tishmu neviyachem. This is Kina. We skipped the pasuk yet. Vatem al tishmu neviyachem. Thou kots mechem. Don't listen to your advisors and your prophets and your, you know, all your magic people. Asherim omrim alechem lemor lo tabdu et melechavel ki shekem nivim lechem. All the advisors are telling the king to do what? Rebel. And that's exactly what the meeting's about. The meeting is a plot to rebel against Bavel. But to fight Babel, what's necessary? A coalition. And we want to get this coalition together. And Yamil is saying, don't join this coalition. God said, if you stay under Babylonian rule, you can keep your country. But if you go and join this coalition and fight Babel, what's going to happen to you? Then there'll be another way to fight Babel. Yamil makes one point, which is crystal clear. Yamil is saying there doesn't need to be another wave of exile. There doesn't need to be destruction of the temple. But if you rebel against Babel, then it's going to happen. It doesn't have to happen, but it might happen. And that's it's important to clarify that, because most people don't understand that way. Most people think Yamil says 7 years is 7 years of Korban. Most people learn that way. Most people learn that Yamil 7 years is 7 years of exile and Korban. Isn't that what's taught most of the time? Yirmiyahu never says that. Yirmiyahu says that 7 years Babylonian rule, if you rebel against Babel, then there'll be Korban and more exile.
This conference is during the reign of
Ezekiel,
and you're saying that there's he's trying to form an alliance with
Ammon, Moab, Edom, Tsor, and Sidon.
Is that in these specific, or am I missing something?
Pasuk Gimel.
That's Yirmiyahu being told to send messengers to.
These malachim, these emissaries, coming from Yerushalayim, from these kings, how's Yirmiyahu going to send it? There's no mail system. He's sending it with diplomatic mail. These emissaries are coming. He says, give these to these emissaries to get back to the bosses. Go tell this to your masters. Tell this to your masters. Take care now. Now, we don't know what year this is, but we know it's during the reign of Ezekiel. And we know that sometime during the reign of Ezekiel, there's a meeting going on, and there's a plot to rebel against Babel, that Yirmiyahu is dead against, and who's pro, and who's edging them on? Yeah, what we call, what we call Rabbanei Yesha. You know, just for the analogy, I'm not saying who's right and wrong. But you have a whole group of Nevi'im, Nevi'i Hashem, who are pushing the king and the government to rebel against Babel. We can fight, we want to remain independent, it's our land, no one can stop us. And if we fight Babel, for sure God will be on our side. And therefore, Yirmiyahu says, don't listen to them, because they're saying this, look at the end of Pasuk Yud again. Ki sheker nevi'im lachem, they're saying sheker in my name. The end of Pasuk Tet. Then, Pasuk Yud, by Glasher, Asriyaviyat Tavro Ba'ol Melech Babel, any of these nations who puts their yoke, their neck under the yoke of Melech Babel, Vavdo, and serves them, V'nechtiv al motov v'num Hashem, V'avada, V'yashaba. There doesn't have to be destruction by Babel. If you accept them, you can stay in your land. Fight them, and they're going to exile you. You and all your neighbors. Okay? Now, Yirmiyahu's message is political, isn't it? Yeah, question.
What does the word
Laman
mean?
I skipped it in the... Yeah, I have it. Laman?
Yeah.
So by doing that, that's going to cause you to be exiled. Listen to them and that'll cause you to go out. They're leading you to exile.
It's not saying that God is, in a sense, almost telling them to do this because God wants to exile you. That's
not what he's saying. No, he's saying what they're doing is causing, that'll cause exile. If you listen to this Nabi, it'll take you away from God and not closer to God.
It's a strange use of the word Laman.
Right.
I mean, that's not, Shat is more like...
Yeah, but I think he's saying it almost, Laman, Laman is based on its context. Ki dati Laman asher yitzaveh. Or Laman...
That's always been the cause.
That's always been the cause. Sometimes in order that. Now, back to, we read Yidala. With any nation who gets in, now, look in Yidbet. That was for all the nations. How about Tzidkiyahu himself? So, Tzidkiyahu melech Yehuda divarti, tichot v'me ila lemor. Havi ot tzavrachem v'o melech Babel, v'yivdu oto v'amo v'chiyu. Put yourself under the yoke of melech Babel, and you stay alive. Lama tumut atav amcha, v'amecha, v'cher v'rav u'v'daver, kashur diber Hashem el agoy asher lo yavod melech Babel. Why should you die? If you join this coalition to rebel, you finish. And again, Pasuk Yedalas. Al tishmu adibrein yehanavim. Ha'omrim alechem lemor lo atavdu et melech Babel. Don't listen to the Nevi'im. They're Nevi'i Hashem. They're saying things in God's name. Later, Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel is going to complain about them. And Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel are going to complain about them. Because they're the adversaries. Ki shekim nevi'im lachem. They're saying things in my name falsely. Ki lo shilachtim nu mashem, ve'im nevi'im b'shmi lashakem. That's 100% proof, right? These are God's prophets. That's why I call them Rabbanim. They're saying things in God's name, and they have good intentions, and they think it's what God wants.
And they
bring food, and they're so sure that they're right, that they say in God's name, because they know that's what God wants. They're 100% sure, and therefore they're willing to lie to the people, and say, God told me this in Nevoah, because they know that's what God wants. And that's what the people want to hear as well. But we don't know when this happened yet. Until we read Perek Chafchet, which is the key to everything. Perek Chafchet, the first two lines. Vayhi b'shana hi, b'reishit mamlechet Hizkiyahu melech Yehuda. What's that now? B'shana hi, what's that mean? On that same year, what year? Big year when we're meeting in Yerushalayim. In the very same year, which is what year now? In the early reign of Tzidkiyahu, B'shana ha-revit, B'shat ha-b'chodesh ha-mishi. Chodesh Av in the fourth year of Tzidkiyahu, which is either the fourth or fifth year of the exile, depending on when you count the exile from. Amar le-chananeh ben-azor ha-navi asher b'givon ve-beit Hashem le-ni ha-kohanim b'cholam l'mor. There's going to be a showdown between two Nevi'im. Listen to the showdown. Okay. This is Hanani ben Azor. According to Chazal, was a Nevi Emet. At one time he was a Nevi Emet. Now he's saying Sheker. He was a bona fide Nevi. Again, Pasuk Bet. Derech Chet. Kol Mar Hashem Tzvot Elohi Yisrael Lemor. Shavati Et O Melech Lozor. What's that mean? I'm breaking the yoke. The yoke of Babel was on it for 4 years already, and that's it's enough. I'm breaking it. But also in the time yamin, ani mishiv al hamakom hazeh kol kfei beit Hashem asher v'chachnu v'chanet ha-melech lozor min hamakom hazeh v'yatzan davar. Within 2 years' time, what's happening? All the kelim that were already taken out. Remember, the Beit HaMikdash wasn't destroyed yet, but in the first days of exile, the charash and mazger and a lot of the kelim of the Beit HaMikdash were taken out. All the important people were taken. Some of the kelim of the Beit HaMikdash.
Why were you doing it? Everybody was in the parak before.
Because this is a Navi saying this now. A Navi Sheker saying it. Yirmiyahu said it's going to happen after 70 years. Now the false prophets are saying it's going to happen within 2 years. Within 2 years' time, they're all coming back.
But he already told them not to listen to that.
Yirmiyahu told people don't listen to them. And Hanani ben Azor is saying it and giving a date now. Now he's saying, in 2 more years it's happening. And it's a showdown in the Beit HaMikdash. Now, before we go any farther, yeah.
I'm totally confused. What is the Pasuk Aleph and Zion mean?
Remember my Akdamah?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I learned from Pasuk Bet. Perek Aleph and Perek Zayin says this happened in the year of, in the reign of Yehoiakim.
Yeah, exactly.
But the whole story from Pasuk Bet is year of Tzidkiyahu. It's year of Tzidkiyahu. So the critics say, you know, some scribal mistake here. And in my opinion, what's happening is the story of the yoke. Yirmiyahu already had that already. That the idea of the yoke, and Yirmiyahu walking with the yoke and saying, given to Babel, already happened during Yehoiakim, in the fourth year of Yehoiakim. And that we saw, that was Perek Hafei. And now, in light of the story, a similar event is happening in the year of Tzidkiyahu. There's some sentence missing. There's some kishur. There's some segue type of a puzzle that's missing here.
So in Aleph and Chafet, when it says Bishana Hafim, that doesn't...
No, it's referring to the, when the emissaries with Tzidkiyahu, for sure. It's got to be, because look at the context. Because from Pasuk Bet on, there's all the emissaries meeting in Yerushalayim to rebel against Babel. And the story now is, one of our Nevi'im in the Beit HaMikdash says, rebel against Babel, because in 2 more years, Babel's falling. So join the bandwagon. And that'll bring them all back. Now, When did Yechezkel see his vision of God's Shekhinah living in Yerushalayim? In what year? Year 5. Understand? What's that coincide with? Now we have a link between Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel. Because what's causing God's Shekhinah to leave Yerushalayim? Now, this time it's not haughtiness, like happened with Yishayahu, now it's a different problem. Okay? It's the revolt against Babel. It's the right wing taking over, rebelling against Babel, right? And saying, we're going to win no matter what. The rabbi all behind it. Yirmiyahu, the one voice no one listens to. And you understand why they choose Yirmiyahu becoming a Nevi Shaker? He was a bona fide Nevi Yirmiyahu. They're accusing him of being a Nevi Shaker. And because he's saying things in God's name, and they know he's wrong, because he can't be right, but the people who are listening to this, therefore the Nevi Shaker have to make up Shaker. Because you know the biggest things you're telling me so. Yeah.
I think the people, though, following at this point, not for the earlier sins, but at this point.
Yeah, we'll see that later in Yechezkel, maybe not today, but that's a big problem. Yemiel deals with that, Yechezkel deals with that as well. He says, Kavon ha, the entire Gedal Yechezkel is Kavon ha Doresh, Kavon ha Navi. The people, the reason why the big Sheker is saying Sheker is because it's saying what the people want to hear. The last time the people edge on the rabbis to say, the rabbis like saying things that people want to hear to make them popular. So everyone's behind this. And everyone's joining the bandwagon. And once one guy says, I got Nevoah. Oh, you also got Nevoah. Of course, if he got Nevoah, of course, I got Nevoah. We see that even women start getting Nevoah. There's false Nevi'ot Sheker later on in Yechezkel. In fact, you give me your dollar. It's the end thing. Because everyone's giving all this big hope, the worst is over. Now, this hope is not only in Yerushalayim. This hope spreads to Babel. There's communication. And the same Nevi'im, some of them in Babel, and they're sending letters. And the people in Babel are also, they're not unpacking their suitcases. And they're sure within a year or two they're coming back. And there's international events that are supporting this. Babel loses some battles here and there. And everyone's expecting the Galut of the Yehoshim to come back at either in year 6 or 7, but the hopes begin in year 5. The revolt begins in year 5, but within 2 years of coming back, years 5, 6, and 7 are supposed to be the years of everyone coming back. And now look at the outline. Now I can show you. Look at the outline from the first page. When are 23 to 24 Prakim in Yechezkel's Reduk? In what year? Years 5, 6, and 7. And that's the key. I'll make sure it's crystal clear because that's the main point of my share I try to get across. What I'm trying to get across is the historical events and the revolt against Babel is the underlying story to understand what Yechezkel, the message of Yechezkel's Nevoah. Exactly when the people think that the exile, the temporary exile, is coming back to Yerushalayim, what's Yechezkel coming and saying? You guys got it all wrong. God's leaving Yerushalayim and going to Babel. That's his message. And that's why exactly during these years is when he has all these visions. And he's got to get people's attention. One more line. Actually, I don't want to go any farther in Yirmiyahu Chafchet because that's a whole topic in itself where he breaks just two more lines and then to show you how strong it is and then we can skip the rest. Pasuk Dalet we're up to in Perek Chafchet. That Yechoniah ben Yehoiakim melech Yehuda v'kol galut Yehuda v'im bavela ani meshiv al hamakom hazeh l'Hashem. Ki yeshvot al melech bavel. And he goes on and on. Yirmiyahu counters and says, Halavai, you're right. Skip the pasuk. Good. Like Hanani Hanavi, et hamotah, me'al tzavar Yirmiyahu Hanavi, v'yish bereu. What does he do? In public. He takes the yoke Yirmiyahu is wearing and breaks it in public. It's a big show, you see? And what does he say?
You're wrong.
V'yomech Hanani v'enei kolam nemor kol ma'ashem kacha eshbot ol nefukhanetem melech bavel v'ot shnatam yamim me'al tzavar kol agoyim. In front of everybody, he breaks it. Says, just like I broke this yoke of Yirmiyahu, he broke it. That's how I'm breaking the yoke of Babel and all the nations. Not just you, all the nations. Why all the nations? Who cares about the nations? Those are our allies. In essence, what the Nevi'im are saying, this revolt is going to work and everyone's got to join it. When you make a coalition like this, what will happen if there's some dissident? Others will break away, and then the whole thing falls apart. And for the sake of national security now, And to make sure that this revolt is going to work, I can't allow any other dissenting opinion. And if a prominent rabbi gets up and says in public, don't join the revolt, and anyone joins the revolt is dead, and this will be a calamity on the people, the biggest danger is people might listen to him. And therefore they do the Yirmiyahu. That's why they want to kill them. That's why they put him on trial. That's why the trumped up charges that he's Nabi Sheker about the Korban are an excuse, not a reason. The reason is the political side of it. And that's why he's got to go into hiding. And that historical background explains Yirmiyahu and explains Yechezkel. Hope that's clear now? Now, without understanding that, you're going to miss the whole point, the whole mess of the book. But more than that, go back now to Perek Bet and Yechezkel. Actually, if you look on the big letter paper for the old people like me, who can read? You see Yechezkel Perek Aleph? Yeah, now we're going back to why Yechezkel begins in year 5. We saw this Sukkim before, but in the 30th year, in the 4th month, Ani B'toch HaGolah, the eyes open up, and he has the whole vision. Remember that I talked about in the beginning? He gets everyone's attention. It's the 5th year, and then he gets his Nevuah, and he gets the whole vision of what's called Maaseh Merkabah. He finishes the vision. What's God, after Yechezkel gets the vision, and God appears to him, what does God tell him? This is the opening line. Third Beth and Yechezkel Pasuk Gimel. V'imer lai ben Adam, shulech ani otcha al bnei Yisrael el ha'goyim ha'mordim asher moduvi. I'm sending you to the people of Israel, the nation that's rebelling against me. Heima v'avotam chasubi ad etzim ha'yom hazeh.
Are the nations were
bnei Yisrael? No, bnei Yisrael. Yeah, he's calling us goyim. Heima v'avotam chasubi ad etzim ha'yom hazeh. V'abanim she'ore, she'panim v'chizkele, v'ani sholech otam alehem. V'amat alehem kol ma'ashem, I'm sending you to them. Here's the word of God. Behema, im yishmu vim yachdalu, ki bet merihema. Tiyadu ki nabi haya b'tocham. You're going to tell them whether they listen or not. No. Look, as Parabai continues, how many times does God tell Yechezkel they're not going to listen to you? More than once, right? He does it over and over and over again. Imagine a job. Your job is to go and tell the people. God sends you. Go tell the people. Here's the word of God. And guess what I'm telling you? They're not going to listen to you. And I know they're not going to listen to you. But you got to tell them. It sounds futile, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's
record.
What?
It's the record.
But why do we need the record? That's what we have to see. It's clear to God. It's clear to Yechezkel. It's a lost cause. I'm back to my title, I hope. According to Yirmiyahu, there's hope for Yerushalayim. If they do tzedek u'mishpat. And they don't rebel. According to Yechezkel, it's a lost cause. And God tells him that you have to know, even though it's a lost cause. But you got to tell him, it's got to be in writing. And you have to be on record. Why is that so important? Here's how I want to explain. I think this is like the main... This is what makes Yechezkel a success. And this is why it's the Nevuah so important. Why would God be so adamant in Yechezkel to say his Nevuah, even though he knows they're not going to listen? Yeah?
Yechezkel's going to go up.
Uh-huh.
So who's he talking to and who's not going to listen and what are they doing? I'm a little bit confused. He can't be talking to, he's not talking to Mordim because Mordim are in Eretz Israel or Namon or any place like that. There are no Mordim in Babel. So who exactly is he talking to?
That's exactly, you're 5 minutes ahead of the game. But I'll explain your question and I'll already get to the answer based on your question. What Bernie's asking is, the fate of Yerushalayim is not dependent on the behavior of the Jews in Babel, is it? It's dependent on the behavior of the Jews in Yerushalayim. So it makes sense that Yirmiyahu rebukes them about how they have to behave. Why do the Jews in Babel need rebuke at all? Because no matter whatever they do, that's not going to save Yerushalayim. Why do they need rebuke? That's what you're asking, right? And therefore, of course, there's no point in rebuking them. So what's Yechezkel telling them at all?
They're supposed to stay in a galut for another 60-something years.
And what's Yechezkel afraid of?
So they're not settling. The only answer that you're looking at in the Tanakh we just said, settle down.
The next parak in Yirmiyahu is going to send a letter and tell them, settle down, build houses, plant trees, because you're stuck there for a long time. What can we imply from that?
They weren't settling down. They weren't even going back.
Because they also believe within 2 years they're coming back. And the Chesed telling them, get your hopes down. And settle down. But they know they're not going to listen to them. They're not going to make, they won't be able to go back because Adal won't let them go back. But they're hoping that Adal's going to fall. But why is Chesed to tell them that? Here's the key. If only the Nevi'i Shekhar spoke. If only these Nevi'i Shekhar. Remember, these are Nevi'i Hashem. These are the religious leaders. If the Chesed never opened his mouth,
and he doesn't want to open his mouth, takes a year to open his mouth.
If Yechezkel never opened his mouth and didn't say anything, okay? And the people were listening, the only voice they heard was the right wing when saying rebel. And they were sure that was the word of Hashem. What was the logic behind it? God would never forsake his people. How would they interpret, and let's say the Korban happened. How are they going to interpret the Korban? That the prophets were wrong?
Yeah.
As far as that the God didn't exist?
They lose
their mind. The relationship.
Right? They'll say that the breach is over. They'll say God left his people. And if God left his people, they're going to translate the whole reason why God can't be destroyed is because we're God's people. How can God's house be destroyed? We're his people. It can't happen. He's the God of the universe. Now, if God allows his house to be destroyed, that's an indicator that God left his people. Game over, breathe over, ask your local Christian friends. So they're going to interpret Korban, there's a whole religion based on that, not ours. Right? Not only based on that, but it's one of the proofs. The fact that Amito's exile didn't return, accepted by Shani, that's a sign that the breach is broken. It's not that they're not going to believe in God anymore. They're going to interpret that God left his people. And they're going to maybe blame, they don't think, they're going to be angry with God about it. If God left his people, what are they going to do now? They're going to follow other gods. And they're going to give up on the whole idea. Okay. Now, what's Yechezkel's main job? Not to prevent the Korban. To prevent post-Korban trauma. He's going to plant the seed for the return. So the people don't give up hope. The people have to know that the game isn't over. Which is exactly Dvarim Perek Dalet and, you know Dvarim Perek Dalet? Kitolim Banim Bufnei Banim Ben Hashatem. But you can make it into exile also Parshat Nitzavim. Yes, if you're so bad with the Tokaha that God kicks you out, don't interpret it. Game over. Interpret it as rehab. And ultimately you'll come back.
For the God's with you.
Yeah. And now, if we're going to interpret the events, not that the people are going to say, God left his people. What's another thing? The people left him. And therefore, they have to know it was their fault, but they also have to know that one day they're going to come back. And therefore, they have to stick to the religion and do rehab. And can't give up hope on the religion. That one day they'll return. If Yechezkel wasn't there, we wouldn't be here. You follow? Yechezkel, no one listens to him. But at the end he wins out. That's why he has to be on record. See the last line and highlighted? Yaduki Nabi Haya B'Tocham. They won't listen to you. What will they know that Nabi Haya B'Tocham? When? Not when you give the Nebuah. After the Korban's over. When the police, when the news of the Korban comes, then at least someone was on record. That's Yechezkel in a nutshell. If I want to see what makes Yechezkel great? Where's Yechezkel's success? And why is God appointing him? And why can't tell him Nevi, go say something? Right? Then no one's going to listen to you. He's saying it for the future. In his own generation, he's a total failure. But his message, because he's on record, that's going to save on himself. And it's not just a little record in some archive somewhere. Everyone needs to know what Yechezkel said. And he's got to get their attention. Understand first part now? Some of that was the analogy I gave, what happened on the Brooklyn Bridge, on the, you say something, it gets everybody's attention. And all through the book, he has the coolest things going on. He's got stories, what's going on, and the weirdest things, and they say he's a storyteller. In fact, Yechezkel claims to God, he goes, they're making fun of me. He says, Masham Mashalimu, he's making up stories and telling stories. They're ridiculing Yechezkel for what he's saying. And God says, I know they are, and I want them to. But because they have, It's going to be in record. Everyone's going to know what he said. They're not going to make fun of him. But when it happens, and no one thinks it's happening, when it does happen, Yecheskel was on record. Yeah.
He's essentially saying a lot of what Yecheskel is doing is really a very limited application to that door.
Why limit to that door?
It is of very limited application.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to listen to you.
And that's why it's Navi, it's the Chaladarot. The example of a Navi.
It's not just, but it seems to me almost exclusive to the Darot. That they're not going to listen to him.
That's what God says over the next. You're a Navi, you have to say your word, no one's going to listen to you. But everyone has to know what you said because the next generation the future is based on what you did. Imagine what would happen if Yecheskel wasn't there. There'd be every reason to interpret as God left his people. And that, I think, I hope that's clear. Yeah.
Why doesn't Hashem give Yecheskel more clout so that he should stand out from the other, apparently there will be with him. Why not make him more prominent so that they should give him Nisim so that Eliel and Har Carmel...
That really helps with Eliel, didn't it?
Huh? But it would give
him... How much did it help Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, in Briyah for Hashem, the 12 Korach, what's the next day they say? Hashem Amitim, Etam Hashem. Miracles don't help. 5-year-olds it helps them, but doesn't adults? Because the miracle that happens every day is what we call nature. So, miracles are a jump start at most. That's right.
Chanan
Ben Azur, Yirmiyahu says you're going to die within a year. He dies, and who do they blame it on? Yirmiyahu did a false tzedor. They know Yirmiyahu's a Navi. Just like they know Eliyahu is what he called. He's got magic powers, but they call him he's Ochel Yisrael because he stopped the rain. They believe Eliyahu stopped the rain, but they know he's a Mekuvel and that he can do magic things, and he's using his Kabbalah the wrong way, and therefore. He's an individual because he's using his superpowers against his people. They believe in the miracles, but the misunderstanding, their understanding of God messed up.
There's no cure for stupid.
What? It's called education. Or charter school or something.
That'll work.
You can think so for 1,000 years, yeah. So that's, I have no idea what time it is.
Quarter after nine.
How much time we have left? Oh, because it used to be a clock over there.
Nine.
There's a clock?
Almost 20.
How come I don't see it? Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, right, okay. What time do we have till?
Another 10 minutes.
Okay, fine. I want to get my main course. We can do this, so we can support it. I want to get, remember my title? I want, the goal of the class is simply to understand the book of Yecheskel. And those are the key events. What the time frame of the book is based on what's happening in the book of Yirmiyahu. But this is Yecheskel in light of Yirmiyahu. You can't begin to appreciate you can't read Yecheskel without knowing Yirmiyahu. If you just read Yecheskel, the Fiyasedah, so it's nice stories, but you won't cop what's happening. When you know the background from the time period of Yirmiyahu and the revolt that's going on, then you can appreciate all the events that are happening in Yecheskel's life. Question, yeah.
So they're not going to believe Yecheskel. Hashem says to Yecheskel, they're not going to believe you up front.
Yeah.
So what they're saying is, in retrospect, to get to the Chulban, they will then look back and say, oh, I guess...
Yeah, so read, go to Perek Avdalad. And you know what Asar B'Tevis is about. Perek Avdalad is Asar B'Tevis. Asar B'Tevis. Have it? Perek Avdalad? First, just go to the end. We'll read the first line, and we'll go back to it later. But we have to answer your question, we'll go to the end, and we'll go back to the beginning, because we're going to see a link with Yirmiyahu and Yecheskel again. Terech Chavdalad, I'm in Yirmiyahu Chavdalad. We'll go back to Yirmiyahu Chavdalad in a minute also. But Yecheskel Chavdalad. What? Both Barkim are key. Again, by chance, the number. Yecheskel Chavdalad. Yes. Better known as Asar B'Tevet. Ben Adam Sobcha Hashem Etz Ben Yomazeh Samach Vavel O Yushalayim Etz Ben Yomazeh. Umeshod Beit Amneri Mashal. Another Mashal. Tomata Nayam Koma Hashem, Shvot Asir, Shvot the Gami Tukul Mine. Put up the foam pot. Get the pot ready. Get the pot full of, fill it up with water. And so, the Tekhel will get lots of meat inside. We'll talk about the foam pot in a minute. Go to the end of the Perek. Just go to, he talks about what's going to happen. Basically, he talks about in the foam pot, he says it's going to cook over, and everything's going to cook out. And everything inside the pot will be ruined and destroyed. And there'll be no one to sit Shiva for. All the laws of Shiva come from there. Skip to Pasuk Chavdalet. I'm saying just Chav Gimel, so you see the context. So, Terechem al Roshechem and Arachem Barazbechem lo tispedu ve lo tifku ve makutem bavonetechem ve nehamtem mishalachis. We learn lots of laws of mourning from what Yechezkel is not allowed to do. What the people won't be able to do because there'll be so much death and we know in the sit Shiva. Then, Pasuk Chavdalet. Vaya Yechezkel lechem lemofet kochol asher asat tasu bevo'ah. When it happens, what does it mean before me? When this comes true with the Qurban, remember, now it's already the siege. It's the beginning of the end. Now when it's over, then you know that I'm God. When I take away from there, the fortress. Look how they've come to Beit HaMikdash. They're putting all their faith in the temple. Remember, Echal Hashem, Echal Hashem from Yirmiyahu. Mitzvot Kifatam. They're so proud and happy of the temple. Just like we can't wait for it to be rebuilt because that's going to save us from all our trouble. They can't believe it will be destroyed because it's saving them from all the trouble. They're putting all their hope and salvation in it. It machmar in him. It masan afsam. Masan afsam, you know what that means? All their aspirations and hopes are in their temple. When God takes that away from them, it machmar in him, of they and their children. But yomahu on that day, yavoa palit elecha lashmot ezlan. The refugee is going to come. From the battle, from the siege of destruction and destruction of Yerushalayim, and tell you the news. But Yom Ahu, on what day? On the day that the refugees come from Yerushalayim, you patat zichet apavit. The refugee open your mouth, not physically open your mouth with his hands, but thematically you open your mouth. And now you velo utedaber velo te'alemot. Then you'll be able to speak, and you won't have to be quiet anymore, because now people will listen to you.
Has it been under a gag order?
In the beginning, yes, but it's only temporary. Vayikra ben lemofet, yadu k'ani Hashem. You'll be a sign for them, and then they'll know that I'm the God. Understand? I said to your question? That's what God said. You'll only vindicate, or validate yourself, vindicate yourself after it's over. And therefore, Yechezkel's whole point is, there's no point for Yechezkel to give the possibility of redemption. Because it's not up to them. It's not a machloket Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel. Some people try to portray it that way. So Yechezkel says it's a lost cause, and Yirmiyahu says he can still be saved. It's not a machloket. It has to do with who's talking to who. Because if the people in Yerushalayim listen to Yirmiyahu, they can stop the Qurban to the last minute. If they do proper tshuva and put up the white flag to Bavel, and improve their ways. Improve their social behavior. And their religious behavior. But in Bavel, they can be the biggest tzaddikim. It's not going to save Yerushalayim. The message that people in Bavel need to know is something totally different. They need to know that it's going to happen. And it will happen. And it's got to be crystal clear because everyone's saying it won't happen. So then they hear Nebi say it will happen. Because he's pretty sure it'll happen. If it doesn't happen, so they can say they did tshuva, that we know. That any Gzadim the Rav, they do Tshuva, got to turn over. You know, explains that as well. And Yecheskel. But that's not important for the people it's important for the people in Yerushalayim to know that. That's not necessary for the people in Bavel to know. They need to know Shinebeya Yevetocham. And therefore, all Yecheskel has all these neat things, all these cool visions that he's seeing. And that's what Yecheskel is about. Therefore, the devotion of Nechama are so important for him. Everyone knows how the dry bones begin. What in the name shall the dry bones? What are the people saying? Hinei Yeshua Tzmotenu. Remember what I'm talking about? Take a look at Terechav Zayin. I mean Lamed Zayin in Yecheskel. Everyone knows the vision of the dry bones, but when we get to the Mishal, there's these at Tzmot of Kol Beit Yisrael Hema. Lamed Zayin. What's it? Yeah. These dry bones are the people of Israel. So what are they saying? Dry bones means we're dead, there's no hope, there's no revival. That's why Yechezkel's fighting. Because the people reach the conclusion it's over, our breach is over. Not that we're dead, but as a nation we're dead. I mean, they compare exile to the death of the human. And there's no rehab. It's an irreversible process. It's over. And therefore, what's the whole point of the dry bones? Next slide. It is reversible. And you will come back. It will take a while, but you'll come back. And that's the Yechezkel's message. And therefore, the nevuot of Nechama, beautifully balanced, is the nevuot of rebuke. For the last couple of minutes, I want to do the Trumon part. Okay?
When the Pali is supposed to come, he tells them about the onset of the siege?
That's not clear. It seems like the onset of the siege, but it seems like later on, not so the Chorban happens.
In the context here, it should be the latter.
Yeah. It should be the Chorban, yeah. But it could be the siege. Once the siege begins, it's a done deal. So once the siege begins, it's not saying it's only a matter of time. It's like,
Yeah.
Okay.
So
it appears,
I think so.
But even if they don't believe it right away, but within a year, they'll know it.
So.
Yeah. When they come, yeah. In fact, I'm going to get more details. Now, I want to go back to the Trumpa to understand what the Hayeshet was making fun of them in Perek Abdallah when he talks about you guys are all the meat inside the Trumpa and you're going to get cooked out. Before we go back and read it, I think I have it on, what page is it? At the beginning. Okay. And you have to compare it to dollars. Okay. But first, take a look at something which is interesting. Remember the opening nevuah of the Matan Merkavah in year 5. Look in Terechet when year 6 begins. This is the very beginning of it. Yeah. What we have to do in the next set of Shurim is to go see this stuff more in detail. But we have to finish Yirmiyahu also as well. I'm going in historical order, not in book order. If you follow what we did. Because in Yirmiyahu we get up to Yehoyakim in the beginning of a TTO. And now we have to continue with TTO to see what's happening in Yechezkel. We have to go back to the next year to go back to Yirmiyahu. I bet since it's a night share instead of a morning share, I figured we do a standalone tonight. Look in... I was sending you somewhere. Oh, Perkhet. Look at the year. It's the next year. The Shana Shishit. Yechezkel Perek Chet. Sorry about that. Yechezkel Perek Chet. Vayi b'shana ha-shishi. On the fifth month, I'm Yishev Etiv, Zim Yudai Shvim Tvarai. Okay? Pasuk Bet. He's got another cool vision. The Rebbe needs Mut Kemar Eish, Kemar Emat Nazam Ata Eish, from Madnazam the Malik, Kemar Eish, Zohar King Chashmav, another vision of a fire. Vayishlach b'tachnit yad. What did he do? He sent his hand out. Vayikechene b'tzitzit Roshi, grab him by the hair. Vizitzav tivruach ben ha'aretz ben ha'shamayim. Vatavi oti Yerushalayim b'malot Elohim ha'petach shara p'nimit ha'ponet tzafona asher shem moshav tzem l'kinam masneh. I call this the first Disney ride. You've all been in a Disney ride before? You know what I'm talking about, right? You go into this little car there and you feel like, you start traveling, you feel like you're, wherever you go to, the Never Never Land or under the sea, whatever you go to, you're in one place, but you get the impression that you're traveling somewhere else. So he takes him on a distant ride to Jerusalem. He doesn't go to Yerushalayim, it's Alba Marot Elohim. And he goes to Yerushalayim and he goes from place to place in Yerushalayim in this court and that court and he sees all these things going on. That's the next couple chapters. He has this whole vision. And he sits and tells it to the people in Babel who know what he's talking about. He met the people by name. And this guy dies, and this guy dies, and this thing falls, and this destruction happens, and these guys there, they're bowing down to idol worship in the temple. He's telling them stories about what's happening in Yerushalayim. Not that he actually went there, but in a prophetic vision, you see how he gets their attention? But he has this whole big vision, and then he goes in Perek Ches, he goes from place to place to place in Yerushalayim. And as he's going through in Perachet Tet and Yod, he sees God's Shekhinah leaving from the Kodesh Kodeshim to the Kodesh, and ends up, you know, it leaves what's called the Ten Galviot of the Shekhinah. It finally makes it out of Yerushalayim to Har Zeitim, and then out to Bavel. At the end of Perek Yud, you have to look at the beginning of Perek Yud. He's still, the Rebbe Ni Haraki Asher Al Rosh HaKruvim Kevin Tapir Kumar Dumut Kiseh, just like he had in the first Perek. The vision of Perek Tet and Yud is very similar to the vision in Perek Aleph. It's just more detail. When it's over, in Perek Yud Aleph, where did you see this is the vision? This is the same thing I saw in Har Kfar. The end of Yud or the end of Yud Aleph? So, all the way to, the end of Yud, And Pasuk Yoseh. And Perek Yud, Pasuk Yoseh. But you saw Kuvim Katayim by Yeromo, min Art, when he had Kitam Akonim Lumatam, the Mot Petach Shar Bet Hashem HaKadmoni, the Kuvim Yisalem in the Mala, yet, Shem is going to another place, and then he says, Hiya Chaya, Asher Ra'iti Tachat Elohi Yisab Ben Harkvar, Beidaki Kuvim Hema. The same vision he sees in the Sisney Ride, the same vision he saw the year before, when he saw the same vision coming to Yerushalayim. And the next year he sees a more detailed vision of how and why the Shekhinah is leaving Yerushalayim. Okay. Now, in that vision, in Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Zayin, he says like this. This is the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph. They have the big words here. You see Perek Yud Aleph? Where it says two popular slogans in the big letters in the... ותיסותי רוח ותביא אותי ישר בית השם הקדמוני פונה קדימה אני בפתח השר 25 איש אני see what they're doing. What are the people saying? פסק בית בן מרילה, בן אדם אלה אנשים, the people you see in this vision, what are they up to? החושבים אבן ויוצאים עצת רע. These are the leaders of the city who are planning, doing iniquity, giving bad advice to the people. And what are they telling? אומרים לא בקרוב. What do you mean לא בקרוב? What will happen soon? Yeah. No, what Yirmiyahu is talking about is not going to happen soon. Like Yirmiyahu is saying. Okay. Build. He wants to build up. Keep building. Settle, build, etc. He has here the Anachla Basa. Who's this here? Yerushalayim, the walls of Yerushalayim is a pot. And what are we? We're the meat. And what usually does the pot use as a meat? It protects it. The slogan they're using in Yerushalayim is, the walls of Yerushalayim will protect its inhabitants, just like the walls of a pot protect the beaten side. This thing that Yerushalayim is going to protect its inhabitants. And guess what? Yechezkel is going to take the same slogan. Yet, guess then their slogan? They believe in their city. Yerushalayim won't be so. Yeah, Netzach. They have songs about it, everything. They were sure Yerushalayim will protect them. No matter how bad they behave. And all they need to do is, but the only thing that might bring the Churban is a lack of belief in Yerushalayim. You follow? If people if they had a Chushan Emunah, right? The main thing is Emunah. You have to believe in yourself, believe in Yerushalayim. If you believe enough, God will never ever stop you. It's not about your behavior. It's how you believe. And they were sure of that. And then, 36 of Pasuk Zayin, V'chein kol ma'ashem, chalechem asher samta betocha, ahim ha'basar v'hi asir, v'atchem hutin yitzichem. כן, then in reality, he לא תהיה לכם נוצר ואתם תהיו בתוך הלבשר, הגבול יצא לשפוט אתכם. You'll be the meat, but the pot won't protect you. And that's why in Perek Chavdalet, when he gives the Korban, three years later, and he gives the analogy of what's going to happen to the city, he takes, what's he doing in this analogy? He takes a big pot, puts in all the meat, and it burns out, and everything, and all the meat inside gets ruined. And that's what's going to happen to Yerushalayim. So everyone of the city, The walls won't protect you. Exactly when the siege is happening on your Yerushalayim, he's saying the pot is not going to be in it anymore. Instead, the meat's going to get cooked, that's going to get ruined and destroyed. And that's the analogy he uses for Churban Yerushalayim. Then he goes on to the reasons of it. Now that's, so that's the overview of the book of Yechezkel. So what I try to explain, I'll go back to our title, is that, is the Gzar Din of Churban irreversible or not? According to Yirmiyahu, the 7 years of Bavel, that's irreversible. But Churban of the Beit HaMikdash is reversible. Another wave of exile is reversible, as long as we saw that. Hashem, if the king does Tzedek u'Mishpat, father is away to Machut Beit David, there's no reason and there's no need for another wave of exile. There's no logic to it. All they have to do is accept Babylonian sovereignty. If they don't, then the battle happens. And that's Yirmiyahu's message, which makes perfect sense to them. On the other hand, Yechezkel's message, his people has nothing to do because no matter how good the people in Yerushalayim and Babel will be, that can't prevent the Korban in Yerushalayim. Instead, he says that the message he has to get that it will happen, and he has to be on record. No one wants to hear what he says, no one wants to believe him, and that's what God tells him, no one's going to believe you. But that's not a reason to be quiet. Someone's got to be on record. And in that sense, Yechezkel is a tremendous victory, but he's a success in the fact that he keeps Am Yisrael going. Because if there wasn't someone on record, and someone that everyone heard about and knew about, there was a good chance that Korban would be interpreted that God left his people. There'd be total lack of hope and depression, and no one would have picked up the pieces and put it back together again. Yechezkel, because of what he did, plants the seed of return. Question?
If the people in Israel had accepted Yirmiyahu's message, the people in exile and Babel have been able to come back at that point?
Probably not, I think a little bit later on. That's a good question. How long did that for? According to Yirmiyahu, they're there for a long time. But is Yirmiyahu saying that because in case of Korban? So let's say Korban didn't happen, they really did do good.
Right.
I can't see why they wouldn't be able to come back.
Right, because Babel trusted.
Yeah. Babel might have said that there would be no reason. Again, any Gzardin, especially the Ra'ah, but Shabbat could turn around. I mean, later Yirmiyahu says the opposite is also possible. We did that last time, we called Chomer B'Yad HaYotzer. I think we did that last year, that everything's irreversible. But that, but the main job of the main job is that something will happen, something can happen. But that was last year, wasn't it? That was the point I wanted to get across, that instead of seeing Nevi'im as remember, predicting the future, they shape the future. But the Nevi'ut of Nechama are things that they come and tell the people what can happen, not certain that they will happen.
Yechezkel is saying, not if it should happen, as Yirmiyahu is, where he's saying it doesn't have to.
Yeah.
His job is, for what you just said, to tell them when it happens, don't be misled.
I think
what Ms. Shire is asking is, so what if Yirmiyahu had succeeded in making people listen to him, then Yechezkel will wind up looking like a very bad nugget. He told them it's going to happen, now it didn't.
So okay, so we'll risk his reputation.
But if your question is also an if, the perspective is as an if, then he's saying that, you know, if you don't, then this could...
But there's a difference. I'm not going to be bothered by it. There's a big difference between if it might happen. If it doesn't, you can't say, but your husband's saying it's going to happen.
Because he's talking... And his eyes,
he knows where your meal's going
to
wind up.
He knows it's going to happen because he sometimes you know what's going to happen. It didn't happen yet, but you know it's going to happen. So you're right, there's a possibility of return. And let's say the people actually did tshuva. He has his reputation got ruined. It's worth taking the risk of saying something bad is going to happen. Nothing terrible would happen if they did tshuva and the korban would stop. So you can say we did tshuva.
And Yechezkel would say all those terrible things that they were doing.
Well, I'll get you sure, yeah. It doesn't take away from his main point that someone's on record of what it'll be. Listen, Perek Chavdalet in Yirmiyahu, it's a big move in Yirmiyahu. When he says the two, do they take him? The team Marot and Tehidim Esavot? What do the people in Yerushalayim think? Who got the boot? Who got thrown out with Galut HaYachim?
The
aristocracy, the rich people, the wealthy. What was most of Yirmiyahu's rebuke about?
Haughtiness
and about mistreating the poor, etc. The fact that the aristocracy got the boot, how do they interpret that? They're punished for the bad deeds and they're out of here and they're gone. We said that they say that it belongs to us, but the land belongs to us and they're gone. And they're finished. It's in Yechezkel. It says, "Achinu Hashem Gulotenu." Well, we'll do that the next time. It's a whole long parak. But Yechezkel has to deal with that as well. What did we bring that in? Say?
No, that's inconsistent because even Yirmiyahu is talking. He's talking to the Jews of Babel. Also, didn't say here.
Mm-hmm.
He said that to them the same. The thing is that Yechezkel did. But yeah, that's that. So stay there.
Yirmiyahu sends a letter, stay there and build houses because it's a long haul. And that's in his letter to them.
Right.
Now, did we discuss the letters to go back and forth? I think we did that once, didn't we? No.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah. The letters, when Yirmiyahu sends letters, the rabbis in Babel send letters back to Shalim telling the people, put this guy in jail. Yeah, maybe we'll end with game seven or we should finish. Just one last. Look at Sarah Chafet. I think it's even on the big print. Yeah, yeah. You don't make Aliyah letter we know? Yeah. The last page of the big print. Yeah. Okay. The don't make Aliyah letter we saw. Everyone saw that Sarah Chafet we all know?
No.
Okay. So look at Sarah Chafet at the beginning. Yirmiyahu sent a letter with diplomatic mail. We've seen this before, I'm sure, haven't we? The beginning of Sarah Chafet? Maybe not? I mean, it's a known... It's only the rule of Yirmiyahu that Am Yisrael is kept. And Machner on for thousands of years. He sent the letter, we'll skip right to Pasuk Dalet, okay? This is the letter he sent to the people with diplomatic mail going to Babel. Pasuk Dalet. Call Marshan Tzvot, Elohi Yisrael, Lechol HaGol HaShem Tzvot, Mishan Babela. Yirmiyahu's message is, to Babel, it's the last cause here in Yerushalayim. He says, let's build houses, settle down. Plant trees, it takes a couple of years to get through. Don't live out of suitcases, settle down, build up a community. Just pray for, make a mishrach for the Medina there. He says that. Remember, he said, keep the Shlomo Yeret Lechem Shalom. Okay. In Chet, Kichol Marshem Tzot, Elohi Yisrael, Ayashir Lechem Nidehechem Asher Bekibachem Bekosmeichem Atishmo Achalimotechem Asher Tem Achalimim Ki Beshekem Nidim Lechem Bishmeh V'lo Shalachem Nidim Hashem. You see how many people are giving these false prophecies? In both sides. They're in Babel. The same folks, I'm trying to show you that Yechezkel has this big problem because even the rabbis in Babel are saying the same message as the ones in Yerushalayim. Here's a letter. Listen what the rabbis in Babel send back. Right? The rabbis, I'll make fun of something for a minute. Right? So the right wing, we talked about Rabbi Nisha before. Right? So let's say some left wing rabbis are sending something, you know, some peace data to the Jews overseas. So Rabbi Nisha, I'll pick up. Vada Rabbani, is there Vada Rabbani here or something? Again, get to Rabbani. I'll pick just sort of fun of it. We'll take the National Council of Yom Yisrael. My brother works in us. I can make fun of him. There's a National Council, of Rabbis. They decide we have to write a letter to the government of Israel about sending these people out here with these terrible messages. And listen what they write back. Listen what they say. Pasuk Chavdalet. Says, Bershmaya ha-nechlami toma lemon. Yirmiyahu sends a message. Now, to Shmaya the Nechlami, he's in Babel. What's his name? What's his last name? Shmayahu HaNechlami. I don't think that's his real name. What's his last name come from? He's a dreamer. Milashim Chalom. Okay. Come on, Lemor. Kol Ma'asem Tzvot, Elohi Yisrael Lemor. This is, follow the Hebrew, it's tricky. Yanasher ata shalachta b'shimcha tzvarim, b'shimcha shabi achav sofi. Yanasher ata shalachta b'shimcha tzvarim, el kol ha-masher b'yushalayim, el tzvani ben matei ha-korein, el kol ha-korein limor. You said the letter, Shmaya Nechlami is living in Babel. He's one of the leaders in Babel. He was a big shot in Yerushalayim. He was such a big shot, he got the boot. But you'll lose the Vayachim. He saw Yirmiyahu's letter, and he is so angry. How did that Yirmiyahu write letters like this to us? He's going to kick... We can't wait to come back, and he's ruining our hopes here. How can you allow him to write letters like this? And he sends a specific letter to Tzfani ben Matthew, because Shmaya Nechlami was in charge before. When they went into Galut, they appointed new rabbis who weren't going into exile in charge. And listen what they put him in charge of. God made you. You were appointed to be a priest in charge of us. Tachat Yehoyada Kohen. You replaced the Yehoyada Kohen and went into Galut. Liot pkidim bevet Hashem, to be the officers and officials in God's house. L'cho ish mishugal mitnabe. What, you were in charge of decorum in the Beit HaMikdash. And what do they call that when you're in censorship? Right? And if any mishugana, see mishugal? It's not just in Yiddish, it's in Hebrew. The ish mishugam itnabed. Any mishuganer or Tony prophet. Right. If they say the wrong thing, what do you do with them? Put them where? Right? Put them in jail. And a mapechet is an ancient child that either help people upside down or something. And a tinoch, nowadays a tinoch means solitary confinement. But it's an ancient form of jail. Anyone think, unless somebody says that. But ta, now, lama lo ga'atav yirmiyahu netatri. You're in charge of decorum in the temple. How are you allowing Yirmiyahu to walk around free? Why did you yell and why didn't you arrest Yirmiyahu from Anatot? Habidabe lechem, who's prophesying you, because what did he do? Kiav kein shalach eleinu, what did he send us? Don't know them more. Arukaini, what's Arukaini mean? It's going to take a long time. Everyone agrees to come back. Yirmiyahu says 7 years, they say 2 years. Arukaini? Vnubatim is 7 years, you don't know if you're good, three young. It's the end. You follow? How do you allow Yirmiyahu to say things like that? And publish letters like this and send them there? And the rabbis in Babel are more extreme than the ones in Yerushalayim. How are you letting that happen? I'm bringing that as a proof of the problem that Yechezkel has. Because even the Jews in Babel were sure that redemption is going to come soon. And if someone's not on record and doesn't get the redemption, the Amcha is going to interpret, when the Churban will happen, they'll interpret God left his people. Because the whole Ashkabla is built on then God's house can't be destroyed because it's God's house. Now, they're sure that they're doing nothing wrong because they're bringing korban, the Beit HaMikdash is working. As long as you think the religion is all about korbanot, about feeding God, and that's what everything's built around. Everything's built around the temple. And it has nothing to do with your behavior, or very little with your behavior. So then, if you're bringing korbanot and following, doing all the ritual, and korban happens, then your conclusion has to be, God left his people. And there goes, and there won't be any religion left. And that's why Yirmiyahu has to explain both the reason for the Korban, not because of lack of Korban, but because of lack of social justice. He has to give a similar message to them, and has to be on record that when the Korban happens, don't treat it as God left his people, but the people left him, and therefore you're in rehab, and not covenant's over. So that's Yechezkel that's like the whole book we did the whole book without doing almost anything in detail. So I wanted to get the bigger picture and understand why there's two messages of thing. And again, the analogy came only for the fun of, only for the sake of analogy. Not my coach, I'm a right winger, I just use that for...
No.
I'm not sitting around for questions, but also there's some drinks here, that's all. What day? Hey, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Mark's going to be upstairs in 2 minutes.
My phone.
I never make it here in the morning. It just doesn't work out my balance. Presumably.